Everyone, thank you for tuning into the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. It's May 2018, and you're listening to episode 72 of Postmodern Realities, and I'm Melanie Cogdill, managing editor of the Christian Research Journal. On this episode, I'm joined by Ellen Dykus, who is Women's Ministry Coordinator at Harvest USA, which is a national organization that exists to bring the truth and mercy of Jesus Christ to people affected by sexual struggles and sin. And they also equip churches to minister to sexually broken people. Back in 2013, in volume 36, number 3, Ellen wrote a feature article, and it was called Sexual Sanity for Women in a World Gone Mad. And that's available free online at our website, equip.org. Ellen, it's good to have you on.
Hey, so great to be here.
Well, I just mentioned that you wrote this article 5 years ago called Sexual Sanity for Women. And in the article, you also had a sidebar on the 50 Shades of Grey movie series and books. And in fact, the final installment came out just this February of the films. And this title is also a title of a workbook that you've co-authored for women. And so explain for our listeners what motivated you to write on this topic.
Yeah, well, you know, the article and the workbook talk about sexual sanity for women. And, you know, it'd be hard to find somebody, I think, that wouldn't at least agree that there is some chaos that is going on around us in the world when it comes to sexuality. I mean, there's so much that is changing and spinning, and definitions are morphing. And not only do I have this passion, but the ministry I serve with as well, we really desire to help people become anchored again in a biblical view, a biblical worldview, which I believe is what gives us sanity or a sense of clarity, the true freedom in light of how God has designed us to live. And so, you know, women, like men, but I would say in a unique way, women are wrestling as well in these areas, because so often sexual struggles, whether if it's sin, temptation, those things haven't really been addressed as struggles that women are dealing with as well. And so I am very convinced and passionate that the gospel and a biblical view does give us clarity, does give us, again, a sane anchor upon which to hold on to, and also from which to live out our lives and to have the help and the wisdom that we need when we're struggling in these areas.
You mentioned that the church hasn't really done much to address women's sexual struggles versus, you know, focusing on men. And I think just in general, the Christian church has just only started maybe in the last 5 to 10 years really seeing the importance of focusing on this particular subject. It's something that people feel uncomfortable talking about and so forth. So what are steps that church leaders in particular can take to get this conversation started when it comes to biblical sexuality in women?
Yeah, well, I appreciate that question, because I do think that there are some slow ripples happening within the body of Christ to be talking about sexuality and to be talking about it in a way that is both biblical and gracious. But so often these issues have only been referred to as a man's issue. And so, you know, I've been serving in this role now for almost 11 years, and it was really only about 4 years ago where I actually had a church women's ministry reach out to me and say, hey, would you be willing to come and do a retreat, our yearly women's retreat on sexuality? And so that started, well, I should say that was the first of several now women's retreats that I've taught, actually going through portions of the book of Colossians that not only speak about sexuality, but how we live our sexuality out of our identity in Christ. And so, you know, so how can leaders grow? Well, I just mentioned one, or how can leaders, you know, help cultivate a safe place within their communities to talk about these things? One is in women's ministries is not just having a big event like a women's retreat, but how can like women's Bible study groups. And this would be within the church, but even like non-denominational or interdenominational Bible study groups. How can you embed in some of the teaching examples that include women that are struggling sexually and how the passage relates to that? Pastors, how can you embed into your sermons examples or stories or testimonies that include the hope of Christ for women who are wrestling with things like pornography and fantasy? So those would be some broader strokes things, but other steps that might seem so basic, but I think are important are for church leaders to ask themselves, and this is male or female, do I have a solid grounding in how Scripture speaks about these topics? Do I have a sense of comfortability in being able to speak into a struggler's life from a discipleship point of view? I mean, Melanie, so often I think people think that these types of struggles need to be outsourced to a ministry like ours or an expert. And really, Harvest USA, we just see sexuality issues as another discipleship issue that the church needs to be addressing. And so, I mean, those are a handful of things, from public teaching to small group teaching to leaders learning themselves. And then the final thing that I think leaders can do would be how can they provide biblically based resources for their people. And this is where I think websites are so such a great a way to go about it, because that provides people a very non-threatening way to click on an article or to find out more about what the church believes about certain things that, to be honest, so many people I think can just feel, I don't know, embarrassed, shy, threatened to actually reach out for help. So those are a handful of things that come to mind, but I'll close out my thoughts on that question with this, as it really is important for leaders to be embracing and engaging their own need to learn about these topics, not to mention dealing with things they might be wrestling with personally, and then to begin to step into how can they give that out to their congregation.
I think you mentioning that websites being a good tool for equipping and discipleship is helpful on the subject, because I know just in the sidebar that you wrote, it took a full 5 years for all the films to come out of 50 Shades of Grey. And there's probably some women who have, Christian women who have friends that are reading the books or thinking it's okay to see the movies and mm-hmm. they have questions, but that seems a little awkward to ask other Christian women that they know or their pastor, what about this? And so because your article is available free on our website, equip.org, people who are just Googling, searching, they could come across that and be able to be equipped. So just thinking about this, just this issue of struggling with sexuality, how do you see women, including Christian women, struggling with their sexuality? And I would say, like you were just saying, just in the last 4 years, you've been asked these questions. I mean, it's 2018 now, and last fall in 2017, a lot came out, and especially just in the general media in our culture about, you know, sexuality issues that relates to assault, which is different than what we're talking about today. But even then, it's just only coming into the national conversation about issues like that. So how do you see Christian women in particular struggling?
Yeah, well, you know, I appreciate you bringing up, you know, what's happened culturally with all of the Me Too movement. I mean, that does touch on something that I think believers and non-believers are wrestling with. And that is just, how should we even be thinking about these things? Like, what is okay and what is not okay? And so specifically, like when I have spoken on these topics to a female audience, I mean, I can almost guarantee the types of questions that are going to be asked during the anonymous Q&A time. And I'll just give you a quick summary of that. And I think this is indicative of not only how are women personally struggling, but also where women are curious and needing to know how are Christians even to think about this. So I think Christian women are wrestling a lot in their marriages, in their own sexual relationships with their husbands. Like, what is okay? What is not okay? Like, I was involved in all these types of sexual behavior when I was younger, or maybe when I was a non-believer. Like, what is the sexual relationship within marriage supposed to look like? I get a lot of questions about that. Related to that would also be a lot of Christian wives, like of wondering how are they supposed to go about their sexual relationship with a husband that might be himself unengaged in the sexual relationship, or perhaps if a husband himself, having been influenced by the very horrible education that pornography gives, perhaps requesting or even demanding certain things from a wife. So the area of what is sexual love supposed to look like in a Christ honoring marriage is something that I think a lot of women are struggling with. And then other areas would be the impact of sexual abuse. As you said, that's not our specific topic today, but the high majority of women that I've met who are struggling with any type of sexual sin, whether if it's same sex, opposite sex, pornography, fantasy, so many women do have some form of abuse in their background that has influenced their thinking. And that's another area that women are wrestling with. But then, honestly, there's so much more similarity to men's struggles than differences. I mean, the outward manifestations may have some differences, but women are increasingly struggling with pornography. There's a lot of women that are wrestling with emotional affairs and promiscuity themselves. You know, the last realm that I would mention on this topic, Melanie, would be women are also getting into all kinds of online sexual messes. You know, this whole idea of cyber sex and the chat rooms is another way that women, I think, are really getting baited and hooked in, if you will, into just a lot of really messy scenarios.
You're listening to the Postmodern Realities Podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest is Ellen Dykus, and back in 2013, Ellen wrote a feature article called Sexual Sanity for Women in a World Gone Mad, and it also has a sidebar article on the book and film series 50 Shades of Grey. Her article is available free online at our website, equip.org, and to read more articles on biblical sexuality, like our upcoming feature on Solo Sex and the Christian, please subscribe to the journal. A 6-issue subscription is now at a new lower price of $33.50. And to subscribe online, visit our website, equip.org. Well, when it comes to sexuality and Christianity, there's all kinds of vocabulary that we use, like sexual struggle, sin, brokenness. Can you define some of those? And how should we talk about sexual struggles, and especially as it relates to women?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, the clearest biblical vocabulary is going to be, you know, looking at things in light of desires, temptations, and sin. Like, I don't think it's wrong to talk about struggles. I don't think it's wrong, of course, to talk about brokenness, because the reality is that Scripture does speak a lot about broken hearts. That's an impact of sin and living in a sinful world. But I think the more we can put things into terms of, yeah, we all have desires that become disordered and get off track. I mean, the Bible speaks a lot about good desires and evil desires. The more we can also talk about how those desires can lead us into tempting situations, those things that are alluring to us, that would be inviting us, luring us away from Christ. And then, of course, you know, calling sin, sin. So often, I mean, I can see this in myself at times, you know, it's easier to talk about, oh, my struggle in this area, rather than just saying, you know what, this is a besetting area. This is a common area of temptation for me, and where it seems easier to give in to sin than others, and asking people to help and pray for me in light of that. So again, I words like sexual brokenness and struggles, I don't think they're wrong or bad to use, but we just need to know, what do we mean when we're using those things? And I think, you know, the clearer we can be with tying things to biblical vocabulary, that the beauty of that is it also, I think, leads to a clearer connection to the biblical solution, which is our Redeemer, the grace and forgiveness and transformation that that comes through Christ. And really, I think that's the same for women as it would be for men.
Well, in your article, you have a section that talks about expressions of sexual insanity. And in that, you have various different, you know, bullet points of different things. And one of those is viewing pornography as well as reading books that are written pornography. So, you know, you did say that women are being more involved in pornography earlier in the podcast. So obviously there's a lot of men and women, both Christians as well, that don't think it's really a big deal. It's become almost like so common and assumed that people just, it's part of their sexual life. Sure, we view pornography. As a matter of fact, I was in a class at church and we were talking about, it was a specific class, equipping church leaders on sexuality. And someone was saying somebody that they knew, a Christian couple, just kind of a matter of factly, oh yeah, it just helps our marriage. We both look at it together. So can you talk to us about this? Is it a big deal for women to look at pornography? Especially, I think some women, they would say, well, the pornography they look at is not like the super hardcore stuff that men look at. It's more story driven or something like that. So is it a big deal?
Yeah, well, it is. And the one of the very sad and sobering fallouts of living in an increasingly porn is norm world is that it becomes just that, normalized. And you know, again, like my heart isn't like ever in our ministry isn't to point a finger out at the world or the culture and say big, bad culture. Because the biggest struggle is inside all of us in our own hearts. But the reality is that all around us, sexual scenes, sexual innuendos, images are becoming just so normalized on primetime TV. And so when you do the idea of pornography, you know, books, images, videos that are portraying sexual acts, it's damaging and it's also I was going to say disrespectful, but that sounds so tame. It's sinful and offensive to the Lord. He has called us to have minds that are filled with and thinking upon what is good and true and holy and lovely. And God would never bless, one, there's a lot of, abuse and taking advantage of that goes on in the porn industry. That's something that the social injustice issues that are going on there is something that a lot of people don't want to talk about. And so even like that couple that you just mentioned, Melanie, I would wonder if they have ever really thought about those, whatever it is that they're viewing, have they considered what needed to happen for them to actually be viewing the things that they're viewing online? So it is a big deal. It's a big deal because porn, by the very nature of what it is, sexual images and the impact, it sticks in the brain. And again, God has called us to have our hearts and minds fixed on what is true. For a married couple, the sexual love and union between a husband and wife is meant to be exclusive. So that there wouldn't be any third party intrusions. And again, I don't want to blast like that couple or others that may even be listening to this with any kind of a shame, but just to say, when you view porn, you are bringing others into your marriage bed, basically. And even if you're viewing it as a single, those images, that experience is going to impact you in ways that are going to take a long time to heal, and that will probably impact future relationships. It will take a lot of hard work, very possible because of the power of Christ, but it's going to take a lot of hard work to have that mind transformed, as Romans 12, 1 speaks about, 1 and 2. So it is such a big deal. And actually, let me just tag on. It's a big deal as we think about the generation growing up with porn in their pockets through devices. And again, I'm not pointing a finger and saying bad about devices, but we have now a generation growing up that have literally are growing up with free, anonymous porn literally in the pocket of their jeans by their smartphone.
I think it wasn't like a conscious decision this morning because of this podcast, but I was driving two students, one of my kids and another teenage boy, to school this morning. And we started talking about pornography, and I just talked to them and I just said, one of the things that's so terrible about it is that it just objectifies women made in the image of God. Mm-hmm. And you start having mm-hmm. this view that you think all women need to be a certain way. It's so demeaning.
Yeah.
And I just told them, if anyone tries to show it to you, you just run away from them, is what
yep.
I said.
Yeah.
Do not look at it. And I said that because once you get it in your brain, I said, it's like drugs. It's going to pull you in.
Yeah.
You're going to need to look more and more at it. So run away from it, is what I told them.
Yeah.
But not just looking at these sexual acts and so forth. What about sexuality that Christian women, you talked about emotional affairs earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So are there relational messes that women get into with other men or even with other women? And what are some of those kinds of scenarios, and how do you help women who, you've counseled that have had these situations that they've been involved in?
Yeah, well, the idea of like an emotional affair, which can lead easily to a sexual, physical affair, but not always, it's something that, again, I think is off our radar screens a lot, and to be honest, can go undetected. And so, an emotional affair, or really even we could call it just a very unhealthy emotional dependency, is when a relational, emotional connection and sense of intimacy with somebody begins to develop in a way that is unholy. So developing that with somebody who's married, developing it with somebody who's not your spouse, it's like having a spousal intimacy with somebody that you're not married to. And women, I've had so many women who have gotten into, you might call it an emotional affair or a very obsessive, emotional dependent friendship with each other, that just becomes so intoxicating and so life dominating. And again, Melanie, I think these can go so undetected because, well, those two women, they're just BFFs. Or, well, he's my pastor, but he just really understands me in a way that my husband doesn't. I'm just seeing him for counseling. I'm seeing him for pastoral wisdom. And oftentimes we turn a blind eye or we turn a naive eye, even when we see people in our lives starting to take steps towards this. And so, regardless, really, if it's a woman or a man that you're in this enmeshed situation with, the way I'm going to be discipling women, I mean, is a lot, but a few key points would be, in the immediate, they're really going to need to make separation with that person and probably cut ties, most likely. But then the bigger picture and the deeper work is going to be to start going into the heart and what were the dynamics that even made this person vulnerable to enter into this type of a relationship between two women, for example. I mean, many women get into kind of this codependent mess with each other and then end up getting involved sexually with each other. Is understanding what is it that their hearts were craving that this other person seemed to fill or meet that felt need in a way that really got them off track. And really, Melanie, as we're talking about all these different areas of struggle, we're all much more alike than different. We can turn away from Christ and we go outside of Christ to try to make life work. And so the process of healing and repentance is turning back to Christ and helping or growing and understanding how is Christ my life and how does he want to, what is he giving me? What is he commanding me because of his love that's going to lead me into a place of freedom and wholeness in my relationships, regardless of if it's a man or a woman?
So what would you say to women, married or single, who are listening to this podcast and maybe they're thinking back on, past sexual struggles they've had? Maybe they have this, just really heavy shame or regret or guilt, and they go to the Bible, but it doesn't seem to bring them any comfort
mm-hmm.
when they
mm-hmm.
How would you encourage them?
Yeah. Two thoughts come to mind, first of all. And the one is, one of my very favorite verses about shame is in Psalm 34, where where, you know, David proclaims out and he's speaking of the Lord. He says, those who look to you are radiant and their faces are never covered with shame. And so, you know, my first thought is with those women is usually it's when we are staring at our past failures and sin is what conjures up the shame. And Christ is saying, no, 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 look to me, look to my forgiveness, look to what is true. But the second aspect of that is sometimes shame is lingering like a residue, perhaps because there are past sins that were pursued or maybe sin that was done against us that we've not really addressed. And so that would be my second kind of word of encouragement, that if a woman is feeling shame and pain, is to ask yourself some of those hard questions of, well, have I really brought this to the Lord? Have I talked about this with somebody else, somebody who could help me think this through? Because generally I've found that that's where a lot of shame is coming from, unaddressed experiences of sin or of focusing on those things more than Christ.
So how do women balance both of those things that you're talking about? And in one sense, like you said earlier, being honest, not just saying brokenness, although it is broken, or although we do have struggles, but saying this is a sin. And then just also, you know, knowing the truth of the being forgiven because of the gospel and having grace for the times that we do fail in this area. How do you encourage women to balance both of those things?
Yeah, well, I think it's both being honest with ourselves and before the Lord and with trusted other people and continuing to grow in what Scripture says about these things. I mean, Scripture is brutally honest, and it's, you don't just see one story of a person having victory over sin after another in Scripture. You see a lot of people struggling, and you see a lot of people coming to the Lord with just gut raw honesty. So I think, you know, because the Bible holds these things together, we kind of follow its example. And the last thing I'd want to say on that, Melanie, is this, that I think one of the ways we hold those together is by slowly and wisely and appropriately opening our lives up to other people. You know, there's areas of my life that have, you know, sin struggles, and the ones that I try to keep secret or that I did keep secret in the past, those are usually the areas where it was really hard to feel God's grace. But as we walk in the light with other people, that helps us to really face the ugliness of sin, but the brighter beauty of Christ's love and forgiveness.
Well, it seems like we were talking about earlier, you know, it's just coming to the forefront of the Christian church regarding proactive ministry as it pertains to sexuality. But, you know, a lot of churches, it can be tricky. You just mentioned that women could be in unhealthy relationships with one another. And then also there's male pastors counseling women. And so how do congregations navigate the kind of, you know, just having balance in some of these kind of tricky areas, and what are steps that they can take?
Yeah, well, I appreciate you, you know, bringing up kind of the unique situation, I think, especially for brothers in Christ who are pastors, and how do they go about being proactive to minister to the women in their congregation, knowing that they need to be wise about boundaries. And so I think, you know, I'll kind of answer your question by specifically speaking to male leaders is, first is I would say to my brothers, like, please don't avoid these areas. Even if you feel fearful or intimidated, please don't avoid them. The women in your church need for you to pastor them in this area. Now, that doesn't mean that you've got to be the one doing one-on-one discipleship or counseling, but to be addressing them from your pastoral role. So that leads to the second thing is to whatever degree churches and leaders need to have a proactive discipleship ministry, please continue to grow in that and continue to grow in raising up women who are leaders, women who can disciple. You know, a lot of the women that I've walked with, say, let's just take for an example, a woman who's been really wrestling with pornography for a lot of years. what has helped her probably the most is in, you know, using maybe our workbook or other resources. But I think what helps so many people the most is having a safe place to confess their sin and to get some basic discipleship that deal with the issues of the heart. And so that's something that pastors can hopefully be equipping their people in, being proactive, effective disciplers. And, you know, and Harvest USA exists to help equip God's people to know how to minister in these areas, which is where our resources come in. But I think the answer really to your question, Melanie, is simple. It's don't avoid, but engage this and raise up people from within your church who can be the on-the-ground disciplers. So women, you know, discipling of other women is the ideal scenario.
Well, I really appreciate this conversation. It can be a hard topic to talk about, but I'm glad that you came on today. So finally, I want to end with some fun rapid-fire questions for Ellen. Ellen, French fries or onion rings?
Onion rings.
Are you an early bird or a night owl?
Early bird.
Call or text?
Text. Sadly, I've become more of a texter.
Introvert or extrovert?
Introvert.
And I don't usually get to ask, well, I don't ask at all because mostly we have men on this program, but you're a woman, so I'll ask a fashion question. Pants or skirts?
You know, it depends, but I like skirts. I probably wear pants more, but I do like skirts. Depends on the time of the year.
Well, thanks, Ellen, for being a guest on the Postmodern Realities podcast.
Well, really great to be here.
Today's guest is Ellen Dykus, who back in 2013 wrote a feature article for the Christian Research Journal called Sexual Sanity for Women in a World Gone Mad. It also has a sidebar article on the book and film series 50 Shades of Grey. Her article is available free online at our website, equip.org. And to read more articles on biblical sexuality, like the upcoming feature article on solo sex and the Christian, please subscribe to the journal. A 6-issue subscription is now a new lower price of $33.50. To subscribe online, visit equip.org. We'd like to hear from you, so connect with us on social media. Like the Bible Answer Man Facebook page and follow CRI, Christian Research Journal, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Bible Answer Man on Twitter. Follow the Bible Answer Man on Instagram and please subscribe to the Bible Answer Man channel on YouTube. If you like this episode, please subscribe to the Postmodern Realities podcast on iTunes and rate and review our podcast. When you rate and review our podcast, it helps others find our content. And please share this episode on your social media accounts. Be sure you tune in daily to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, hosted by CRI President Hank Hanegraaff, who answers your questions live on air. To ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Hank is also live streaming each week on Facebook and YouTube, so check equip.org for dates and times. In addition, head to iTunes and subscribe to Hank Unplugged, Hank's new audio podcast. Follow Hank off the grid, where he has in-depth conversations with some of the brightest minds discussing topics you care about. So until our next Christian Research Journal author conversation, thanks for listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast.